Okay, shalom. Okay, today is Netilas Yadayim. Okay. So today we're going to speak about the halachas of Netilas Yadayim for Suda. So Shulchan Aruch and Kufnun Ches says, "Kshiyovel lechol pas, shivrochem alav amotzi yitol yadav. Afil enu yodei lehem shum tuma. Vivrochem alotilas yadayim." So the halacha is that if you have bread, you have to have netilas yadayim. Now, why is that? So Mishnah writes, "Tam takanos netila hu mishnei devar mechum dish tzrach truma." You see, really, what's the halacha? Halacha is yadayim shniyosen, that the hands have a din of sheni l'tuma. Right? How does tuma work? There's aviyavosa tuma, that's a dead body. Then you have avatuma, touches the dead body. Then rishon, sheni, shlishi, revi. So by chulin, after sheni, it stops. In other words, something is chulin. Chulin means regular, mundane food. So there's no concept of shlishi. So l'chora, the whole concept of the tilas yadayim, one could question, what's going on? The hands are having a din of sheni l'tuma. That chazal goes there, that hands have a din of sheni l'tuma. So even if I didn't wash my hands, I touch a piece of bread, there's no concept of shlishi l'tuma when it comes to chulin. Shlishi l'tuma you have by truma. You don't have shlishi by chulin. So what am I doing? I'm washing the tilas yadayim to get rid of the tumma. Or there should be no reason to wash the tilas yadayim. So Chazal say it's nesrach truma. That, in other words, we're afraid that if you're going to come to eat chulin without washing metilas yadayim, so you'll come to eat truma, or if you're a kohen, you'll come to eat truma without metilas yadayim. And by truma, there could be a shlishi. So therefore, they said that you have to wash the tilas yadayim even when you have a chulin, because you might forget when you have truma. Now, even though you could say, well, I'm not a kohen anyway, but there are kohanim around. So therefore, atu the kohanim, anyone, even a Yisrael, eats pas, has to wash netilas yadayim. So this way, his hands are sheni, will get tahar, and therefore he'll even be able to eat chulin, and there's no chashash that he's going to make a mistake to eat truma, because lamais he's washing netilas yadayim. So when he... Now, so the takana was only on pas. Actually, that was one thing. And then there's another reason, mishum dekiyas ukedusha. But it's not really true that it's only on pas. I mean, I think the Rishonim point out, because the pas is the most common thing. There's also halacha that if you have peros, if you're eating fruit, so you have to wash the tilas yadayim if the fruit is wet. Say if you wash an apple and it's wet, so you're not allowed to eat the apple before washing the tilas yadayim. That's the din of dovah shetibulu b'mashke. People aren't so nizer in this halacha. The only time people are, I mean, I try to keep it... But that's what we do at the Seder. Kadesh Ruchatz. Why are we washing our hands at the beginning of the Seder? It's because we're going to dip the karpas in the Mei Melech. So it's a Dovah Shetibulu B'mashke. So since it's the Davar Shel Tibul Mamashke, we're going to be required to wash Netilas Yadayim. So that's any time that something is Tibul Mamashke, it requires Netilas Yadayim. If you dry the apple, then you don't have to wash Netilas Yadayim. But if it's a wet apple, then you have to wash the Netilas Yadayim. The Magen Avraham is Melamed Chus. It was Tosas' Shita is that the only time you have to wash the Netilas Yadayim for Davar Shel Tibul Mamashke is if something is bizman that they were makpid on taras, you know, that they used to have real kabanos and things like that, and today we're not, so maybe this halacha doesn't apply bizman as that. But Lamaisa the Shulchan Aruch quotes this halacha, so it's a good halacha to keep. All halachas are good to keep, but I'm saying, so if you're eating something that's tibul mamashke, you have to wash the Netilas Yadayim. Then the question that's raised, so how come if you have cereal and milk? Cereal and milk. You should have to wash the Netilas Yadayim. It's Tibul Mamashke.
You don't handle the milk with your hands.
Oh, right. So that's an interesting... So that's what Rav Abadi pointed out to me, that the reason seems to be is it's not something you generally have with your hands. But it's not so pashut, because there's a very interesting halacha. To me, the most interesting halacha in the Netilas Yadayim. And here, it's on Kuf Samach Gimel. The halacha of Kuf Samach Gimel Siv Beis. You want to hear this halacha? This is the halacha. If I feed you bread. So I'm touching the bread, but I'm not eating it. You're eating the bread, you're not touching it. So who has to wash the Netilas Yadayim? So the halacha is the person who's eating has to wash the Netilas Yadayim, even though he's not touching the bread. And the guy who's touching the bread, who's not eating, doesn't have to wash the Netilas Yadayim. To me, that's the most interesting halacha in the Netilas Yadayim. It's contrary to what you would have thought. That's in other words, the reason is also the touching, but they made the takana on the person who's eating, even if he's not touching. And the person who's feeding, who's not eating, doesn't have the requirement, even though he's touching.
Why is that?
Because they weren't... look, this whole thing is a gzeira. The whole thing is not a real din, because Lamaisa, I mean, they made it a din to Rabbanan, but it's not a real chashash, because Lamaisa, Yadayim Shniyose. A person's hands, the Chazal and Gozer, have a status of Shein Yilatumma. Yadayim Shniyose. And in Chulin, there's no such thing as a Shlishi. So really, you shouldn't require Netilas Yadayim at all. Chazal and Gozer, so they made up the rules. They made up the rules. So this is the rule they made, that the Chiyuv Netilas Yadayim is on the Ochel and not on the Machil. Fascinating halacha.
So the touching of the bread has nothing to do with it.
Right. So the guy who's touching, unless, in other words, if you're eating, you have a Chiyuv Netilas Yadayim even if you're not touching. And if you're touching and you're not eating, you don't have a Chiyuv Netilas Yadayim.
And let's say you wear gloves when you're...
Oh, what if you wear gloves? Excellent question. What if you're eating? So that's machlokas rishonim. Whether if you're wearing gloves, does that patter? So we paskin that wearing gloves does not exempt you from the Netilas Yadayim.
So you want to wash your hands, on the Netilas Yadayim, put the gloves on, and then eat the bread.
I mean, why do you want to put gloves on?
Obviously, you're going to wash your hands with gloves on, right?
So yeah, in other words, we paskin that wearing gloves does not patent from the Netilas Yadayim. It's a machlokas. I think the Rambam holds it does, but we hold it doesn't.
So So then what would be the Rabbi Simon, just what would be the reason for washing the hands? If you want to wear gloves, or someone's going to feed you, else going to feed you, what was the purpose of the word?
Because the purpose, the takana was made because of the truma. You might come to touch the bread and you come to touch the truma, but the way they formulated it is they formulated it on the ochel. That's it. They had to make categories, so this is the category they made. Whereas they could have said, anytime you touch bread, you should wash the tilas yadayim, right? Nothing to do with eating. Say you're just cleaning up the table, and you're going to take off the leftover pieces of bread, and you're going to put them away for a future meal. So they could have said, you require the tilas yadayim. That would have made sense. But the way they would go there is for the olcha. Not for the mafil, and not for the nogeya, but the takana of the tilas yadayim is an eating bread.
May I say this, Rabbi?
Please do.
I read or heard years ago that the whole purpose of the washing of the hands was to prepare future kohanim for the mitzvah of washing their hands before they do a voda. And it's so if in every generation people wash their hands before they eat bread, so then when the time comes, the Beis HaMikdash will rebuild, Mirz Hashem, our faith and our day. Then the idea of washing the hands will have been carried forth from generation to generation without being lost. Because we wash our hands before we eat bread.
Interesting.
Yeah? That's a reminder to the future Kohanim to wash their hands before they do their voda. That's what I heard.
Okay, that's interesting. I'll tell you what I heard. It says in the Shuvas HaRashba, quoted in the Beis Yosef, that the washing of the hands in the morning is like the Kohen who washes his hands every day when he goes into the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, that's the Shuvas HaRashba. So maybe you have a source too, but maybe it got confused with this Shuvas HaRashba. Yes. No, so right. So we don't say a bracha on the tila. We just make believe bracha, because some opinions hold that we, you know, chayiv b'zman hazeh, that we're not osik b'taris. Okay, so but that's I always find that to be the most interesting halacha in Hilchos Tila Sedayim. Is that the chiv is on the ochel and not on the machel. Okay, now there is there are two opinions about to make a bracha for Netilas Yadayim. How much bread do you have to eat? So the Shulchan Aruch says it has to be a beitza, the size of an egg, of bread. It's quoted, Rav Abadi quotes from Rav Aaron Kotler, Rav Adna has it from Rav Aaron Kotler, Rav Abadi has it from Rav Aaron Kotler, that the size of a rye bread, middle slice of a rye bread, so that's a beitza. So if you're eating less than that amount of bread, you wash without a tilas yadayim, the Shulchan Aruch says. You have to have a beitza. Because the beitza is the shear for ochel to be mekabel tumah. So therefore, that's the shear of beitza. And the Vilna Gaon's opinion is that a kazayis is enough. A kazayis can be like half that size. That when you have a kazayis, that's when you can already wash with a bracha. But the Mechaber says that but some rely on the Vilna Gaon's opinion that once you have a kazayis of bread, which is say half the size of the middle size of a rye bread, then you can wash with a brach. So it's better always to have a kibetza.
That's in order to wash with a bracha.
Yeah. Wash without a bracha. Wash without a bracha even less. Now, what's the halacha we said? If you eat something that's with a mashke, right? So that, like you have fruit with water, you have to wash, apples wet. You have to wash the tears of dying. But the mashke that we're talking about is any one of the zayin mashkim. We say there's zayin mashkim in halacha, and then the way to remember it is yad. Shochad dam. Yad, yud, dalet, shin, ches, tes, dal, ben. Yod, shochad dam. So what are these? Yayin, dvash, shemen, cholov, dam, and mayim. So those three, so anything that has those seven liquids, you have to wash the tilas yadayim if you are eating food with any of those seven liquids.
Yayin, dvash, shemen.
Yayin, dvash, that's yaj, shochat, shemen, chol of tal. Shemen, chol of tal.
What's chol?
Chol of.
Chol of, milk.
Dam and mayim. Now, it's brought down, I don't know who the originator of this is, that each of these mashkim represent another yontif that we have. I saw it in the Or Yerushalayim Torah Journal, but I forget who the original person to point this out. So should we do it, we go through it together? Yayin, which holiday is... which holiday is Yayin?
Red.
What?
Which holiday is Yayin? Bread.
Which holiday is Yayin?
Which holiday is Yayin?
Which holiday?
Which holiday is Yayin?
Purim.
Oh,
Purim. Which holiday is Dvash?
Rosh
Hashanah. Which holiday is Shemen? Hanukkah. Which holiday is Cholov?
Shavuos.
Which holiday is Tal? Which holiday is Tal?
Pesach.
Why?
Okay.
We bench Tal and Pesach. First day Pesach. Okay, which holiday is Dam? Which holiday is Dam? What?
Yom Kippur.
Yom Kippur. All those weeks. So now, which holiday is mine?
Sukkot. Why is Yom Kippur? Dam is blood,
right? Dam is Yom Kippur. It was the whole day of Yom Kippur. The Kohen was Achas Lamala, Achas, Achas Vachas, Achas Ushtayim. Okay. So that's the. But if you're drinking something, the shofar says there's no chiv of the tilas yadayim. But it's because one could have asked the question, how come, they don't make it in if they drink wine? There should be a chiv of the tilas yadayim, right? Why not? I mean, you could have truma of wine. So since you could have truma of wine, so even if when you have cooler of wine, you should have a chiv to wash the tilas yadayim. So why not? So the answer that the post can give is because they never, since you normally don't touch the wine when you drink it, then they didn't wasn't gozer. So even though, as I told you, the chiv of the tilas yadayim is on the ochel, not on the nogeya, but lemaisa, the derech achilas with the giyah. So even though we could have a situation where you eat without Nagiyah, they still said there's no Chiyuv, there's a Chiyuv even if you're not Nogeya. But the real reason was for the Nagiyah. So myself, the Rishonim explained that why there should have been a din of Tilas Adayim when you drink wine. Because the whole idea of the Tilas Adayim is because if you're going to drink without, if you're going to eat without the Tilas Adayim, then it'll come to having Truma. It'll also do with the Tilas, without the Tilas Adayim. But Truma, Medina, you have to wash the Tilas Adayim. Because Truma could become a Shlishi. And if your hands are shiny, when you touch the Truma, it becomes a Shlishi, so you can get the Truma. By chulin, the whole thing shouldn't be, because by chulin, after shemi, it runs out. So if your hands are shemi, and you're going to touch a piece of bread, it's not going to do anything to the bread, because there's no concept of shlishi by chulin. Yet, it was a gzera atu the truma. But the nicer, since the way of drinking wine is without touching the wine, they were not gozer. There's no din of the Tilas Adayim for wine. Now, technically speaking, when should you make the bracha of the Tilas Adayim? Before you wash, right? Because that's whenever you do a mitzvah, you make the bracha first. But the Shulchan Aruch says that since a lot of times our hands aren't so clean, so in Mela, the minhag is to wash first and then make Aleh Tilas Yadayim. And it's considered over Las Yosab to the drying, to the Niguv. Because the Niguv is part of the process. So therefore we wash and we make the Tilas Yadayim and then we dry it. Yes, what's your name again?
Jonathan.
Jonathan?
Abdel.
Abdel, yeah.
I want to Rav Shapta.
Before he washed.
I don't remember if it was before or after. But
no, I think before. He does it before because he says his hands are clean, so it's okay. But Lamaisa, the minig is to do it after. Another way, you know, of doing the Tilas Yadayim is just dipping your hands in a mikvah. Usually that's the most practical way. But there are two ways of the Tilas Yadayim, either using a cup and pouring over your hair, or dipping it in a mikvah. But the nice, it's usually not so practical to dip it in the mikvah.
How about if you're near a river, Rabbi?
Yeah, so that's a question, you know. Say if you're near an ocean, let's do it that way. Mayan, ocean. River is a shiloh, but an ocean. Then there's a whole discussion of the poskim. What bracha do you make? Do you make al netilas yadayim, al tvilas yadayim? You know, if now, for the Tilas Yadayim, you need a kli. If you don't have a kli, you can't wash the Tilas Yadayim. If you have a mikveh, then you can just. So one solution, if you don't have a kli, just dip it in the ocean. If you have an ocean. If you don't have near the ocean, then.
You just
put
a tap on the
ocean. Yeah, so the tap water is not so question. So. Some want to say, well, oh, it's coming from, you know, a container. You know, the water is in a, what do you call it, some type of clay. That's what makes it Mayim Shuvim. That's in the water meter or something in the house. So that you have the water that's in, and then you turn on the faucet, it comes from that. So that's a question, but it doesn't come directly from that. So is that called Alatilas Yadayim? Because the Rishonim point out, the Rashi and others, that Netila is from Lashon Natla. Natla is Aramaic for a kli. But if you don't have a kli, you can't wash your Netilas Yadayim. That's a big problem. So if you have to have a kli with you. Again, unless you tovel your hands, then you don't need a kli.
So really, the best way to do it would be to plug up the drain so that the water fills up and then take your hands in it?
Oh, so that's a very interesting thing. Where?
In the sink.
Oh, yeah, so there's a discussion where we'll discuss whether you could just do that. Whether you could... But the question is, well, do you need a mikveh that's 40 saw? What kind of mikveh is not 40 saw? Or is it not for a vias? It's not so simple to do that. We don't usually do that. Then the question is, could you just open up the faucet? So you don't have a plate, you just turn it on and off. That's the question. Because could you say that it's coming from... I was many years ago, I wrote an article in the Chavrusa, the Rabbinic Alumni, good article with you tonight. So there's a discussion whether it's opening the faucet, does that count? It's like it's coming from the containers, or like the Dr. Feinstein said, it's coming from the pipe, or whatever. So maybe that's called like a clean. So I asked Dr. Feinstein, what should I write about this thing? Which way should I come out? So he said, leave it out.
But it's a subject
that
we can't say a bracha on it.
Yeah, for sure you can't say a bracha, but it might not even be good. So you need a kli. So the halacha is you have to go out of your way for the netilas yadayim. So if you're traveling on the road, so you have to go 72 minutes in the direction that you're traveling to get the water or the kli or whatever it is. 4 mil in the way you go. So in other words, if you want to eat bread and you go on the road, but you don't have water, you don't have a clue, whatever you're missing, so just try keep traveling up until 72 minutes, and then you what? To get. And to go out of your way, to get off the road, or if you're at home, to go out of your way, 18 minutes out of your way to get it. So it's 72 minutes in your way to get it, 18 minutes out. But if you still can't get it, even in your way 72 minutes or out of your way 18 minutes, then make your dinya pata. So you have to be able to, in order to be exempt, you have to be, the water, you can't find water for 72 minutes in the way you're traveling or 18 minutes out of the way. So if you're at home, so anything is out of the way. So then the post can say, so that would be 18 minutes. You'd have to, if you still can't get water, say there's people that have water, like in the place, the hurricane or something, so you don't have water. So if you can still travel 18 minutes, then again, it'll go to 18 minutes. And if you're on the road, you have to, and you're traveling, so you have to go up to 72 minutes in the direction. But even if you go 72 minutes, you still won't be able to get it. Or even if you go 18 minutes out of your way, still in your pocket. Oh, but there, the post can say, the Shulchan Aruch writes, that even though you pocket, you should mach the bread to put on the gloves and not to touch the bread. So we use this idea of covering your hands and not touching the bread as a chumra, not as a kul. Because the Rambam sheet is, I believe, that even if you cover your hands, you pocket from the tefillah tzedakah. We don't hold. We hold your chestel chayim even if you have gloves. But we say that in the situation where you putter anyway, then don't touch the bread. And rely on the opinion of Chumra. Interesting.
So we're putter from washing our hands. What should we do? And we want to eat a sandwich, we want to eat bread.
So then cover your hands and eat.
So let's cover hands.
But you can't just say, you could go out of your way and get it, but I'm not going to do it, and I'm just putting on my gloves. That you can't. If the water is too far, in other words, it's more than 72 minutes away in the direction you're going, or more than 18 minutes away in the direction that you're not going, then you putter. But we say l'chumra, even when you putter, cover up, don't touch the ground.
Don't touch the ground. Put the gloves.
Yeah. But to just say, I have a simple solution, I'm going to the park, and I don't want to have to be bothered with TSA dime. So I'm not going to take, you could easily take a cup and the water with you, and say, I'm not going to do that, I'll just bring gloves, that's not right. You have to bring the water and the thing, and then you flush.
Is there any sort of limitation on time or place after you've done that until before you eat?
Yeah, we'll see soon. And the kli has to be machzik revis. And if there's, if there's a hole in the kli, then it's no good. Have to have someone pour it on. Zarach shavah mayim mikach nosel. Fichat zinah shadol mayim min ayor. Shochem bo v'nshachem min amayim hashkos asadei yachol v'tein yod v'tzoch yin yichachem v'alehem v'nishen bo mikach adam. Shavah pasach ha'tzoch ha'shofach. Of kach ha'nosel. Somebody has to actually do the action. Then there's a whole discussion if a kli has a spout. So you can't pour through the spout. Because the spout is considered like a separate kli. And if the spout is not machzik revis, say revis like 4 ounces. So the kli has to be big enough that's machzik revis. Has to be able to hold like 4 ounces, 4 ounces or something. So if you have a kli that's not big enough, then that's not good. That's not good to tilas yadayim. Even though you say, I'll pour double, I'll keep refilling and refilling it, doesn't matter. It has to come from a kli. And the definition of a kli is that it's machzik revis.
Is there anything in the halacha that you have to pour it from a kli into another kli? Is there anything in the halacha that you pour it off your hand that it lands into another kli?
No, you pour it completely clean onto your hands.
Okay,
no one says you have to take from one clean and pour it into another clean.
No, I mean pour your hand over another clean so that I heard that, I don't know if it was in Netilai Lama or why I'm praying that when you wash, it should fall into another clean.
I mean, it shouldn't fall on the ground or whatever. So if you do it through the spout, so that's a problem because the spout is a separate, might be considered a separate kli, and therefore it's not machzik revis, and therefore it can be a problem. We assume you could use disposable cups also. Sometimes they, you know, people use plastic. Sometimes people use paper, you know, styrofoam. So we assume that those things are good. And Rav Moshe was machmir not to use for kiddush the disposable cups, and others disagreed and said you can't use. So mechatila we try to to use something that's something that's kavua. But if there's a problem, then we could use even disposable for kiddush and for matilas yadayim. Because my kiddush, the Gemara says that the cup has to be, says it has to be chai. One of the things kosher about is chai. So some Rishonim learn that means that, you know, b'sma chazal, they would take, the wine would be very strong. So they'd have it diluted. So chai meant that first you pour the wine into the becher undiluted, and then you dilute it once it's in the becher. That's one shot. The other shot that Rabbi Yona has, Rav Avadi points out, this is what this idea is based on, to use not to use disposable, is that that it should be a cup that's, you know, a chash of a cup, not to have something that's has chips in it. And so based on that, the post to say is Rav Moshe, Rav Avadi pointed out from Rav Moshe, that he said that it's disposable, that's a kisar in the cup being a chai. But some are chai going on the wine, some are chai going on the cup. Now, the minig is to, so I said the cup has to be a revius. If the cup is not a revius, there's no good. Now, technically speaking, if you have a revius each time that you pour on your hand, a revius, so then all you have to pour is once on each hand. Because you pour a revius on this hand, a revius on that hand, and that's, you know, say your cup is a revius, you pour the whole revius on one hand, and refill it, pour the whole revius on another hand, and it's gone. The rive you hold, the only time you need to pour twice, in other words, our minute is we pour twice on the right hand and then twice on the left hand. Because that's if you're using less than a revius. Because if you're losing less than a revius, then the hand becomes, the hand is the tamid of water, and then you need mayim shniyim, the second pouring, to metahir the mayim rishonim that became tamid from the hand. But if you're using a revius, the revius doesn't become tamid. So therefore you don't have to pour twice. Except that there's a rider sheet that says that even when you're using a revius, you should pour twice. So here in America we have so much abundance of water, so we're always pouring. I mean, it's amazing that an average Tilas Yadayim cups that they manufacture today. You know, I mean, it's huge. I don't know how many ounces can you put in, you know, one of those Hamish Tilas Yadayim cups. I don't know if you have any estimate how much they. You know what I'm talking about. Those, the regular Tilas Yadayim cups that you see. In,
those big. 24 ounces.
You think so? More than 24 hours? Yeah. it's about to ride. It's and you feel guilty if not using one of those big ones. I mean, that's huge.
When you say we pour twice, do you mean twice on each hand?
Twice on each hand. So the technically that's only if you're not using a revius. Well, the cup has to be a revius, but if you pour less than a revius, so the mind is matahir the hand, but it became tame, but the water became tame. So now you pour a second time, mayim shniyim on the mayim rishonim to metaher the mayim rishonim. But if you use a revius, if you pour a revius, so that then the revius is considered immune from beginning the kabbal tumah. So if you pour a revius, then the whole thing is tumah. And you pour a revius on the whole thing is tumah.
I read if you use a lot of water, you become rich.
That's also true. There are a lot of ways of becoming rich in this world. So one way is using a lot of water by the Tilas Yadayim. Another way is if you become a tzaddik at a bris, then you become rich. But there are a lot of ways. Okay? You become a tzaddik, you become rich.
I'm starting an appointment.
Thank you,
Rosh
Hashanah. So, you should let everyone know, anyone who needs shotless testing, Rabbi Gold Berkowitz is the man to go to in Washington Heights for shotless
testing. Thank you very much, Rabbi.
I give you a little commercial here. Shotless testing in Washington Heights. This is the address.
This weekend I tested two suits. One was a Hugo Boss suit, and it had a linen threads inside of the felt. The felt is the soft material behind the neck. Inside that felt are threads of linen stretched straight through it. The only way to solve the problem is to remove the entire piece of felt. When you throw the felt away, then the linen threads go out. The other one, Hickey Freeman suit, which had a linen and cotton canvas inside the under the collar. And spent some time taking that out.
Keep it in mind. When
it's very interesting. I once tested a suit that said 100% cotton. 100% cotton is a label, contents. And it was a Hugo Boss suit. And I told the person who bought the suit, who was sure, Alan Schwartz is sure, that hold on, it said 100% cotton, but it's a Hugo Boss suit, so we have to examine the felt. And the felt pulled out a thread, put it in a microscope, and it was wool. And I dug deeper and pulled out these long threads on the inside, and they were linen. And I said, your felt contains linen and wool together. That's the Masha, the service you have done.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Okay,
go ahead.
Next
class again, Rabbi. Next.
It's Tuesday, a week from tomorrow, will be the next class, Rosh Hashanah 1:15. In other words, usually it's on Monday, but next week I have a conflict, so we're going to do it on Tuesday.
Tuesday. So
1:15.
Once a week?
No, it's Monday. I give it on Mondays, and then there's other people who give it on Wednesdays.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Then there's a discussion about which type of water could you use, which type of water can't you use. So if you have mayim shesh nishtanu mareim, in other words, it doesn't look like clear water anymore. It was the color change, so to speak. In other words, it stood in the kli for so long, as Mishabur explains, so it became like yellow, greenish, or something like that. So then you can't use that for Netilas Yadayim. Or if, say, you use the water. You know, to clean something. And now you have the leftover water that already cleaned the dishes with. They're in the basin, so you can't use that water. Because the mayim also by mayim malacha, you can't use. Now, the question is, what if you have a Band-Aid? So, Poskim seem to say that if it's something, you have a cast, or something that there's no chashash, you're going to take it off in the middle of the meal, then you can wash the Tilas Yadayim with it on. But if there's a chashash, it's not such a big cut, you can just, with a chashash, they're going to take it off in the middle of the meal, So, and then it'll touch the bread. So then we tell you, you you should remove it and wash the tefillah sedayim regularly. But if you have a bandit that is severe, that you're not going to come to take it off, so then you could want this, then it's okay, it's not chotzitz. But the shayla is like this, that you have to use a ravias of water each time. Because if you use pachas and ravias, see, the halacha is that if you use a ravias of water, the water doesn't become tame. If you use pachas and ravias, the water doesn't become tame, but then when you pour it in the second time, the mayim shneim is matayim the mayim rishon. Right? But the halacha is mayim shneim can only be matayim mayim rishonim al gabe hayah, when it's on the hand. If it's not on the hand, now. So it's like this. If you have a big band-aid that's on, it's not going to be taken off, and you don't use a revius, so what's going to happen is you're going to wash mayim rishonim, it's going to become, the water's going to become tame, and then some of the water become tame, you move your hand, might go on the band-aid, right? And then when you pour the mayim shneim on it, the mayim shneim won't be tied to the mayim rishonim, because it's on the band-aid. And then when you move your hand, that mayim that's on the band-aid that was originally on the hand will go back on the hand and become in the hand. But if you're using the revius, so then the revius then became tame. So then you have nothing to worry about. But if you use the pachas of revius and you have a band-aid, there's a big chashash that you're going to mess up the whole deal. Because again, if you wash mayim bishon, it'll become tame, and then on your hand, and if you move your hand, you tilt your hand, that mayim will go back on the band-aid. And now when you mash mayim shneim cannot matar mayim rishonim on the band-aid. So then it'll mess up your whole natil. But if you use revius never becomes tummy. So then we don't have to be tired. So therefore, even if it went on from your hand onto the band-aid and the band-aid back onto the hand, it doesn't matter because that water doesn't become tummy, because the revius doesn't become tummy. Okay, then there's a whole shayla about rings. Right, so as we say a lot of times, women have rings, sometimes men have rings. So the bindig, they take off rings, I mean, especially when a woman goes to a mikvah, the bindig is to take off the ring. Why is she taking off the ring? So there's a famous comment of the Ravid, that the Ravid says that the halacha is, chatzitza is a problem if you're makpid. If you're makpid means you don't want it there. In other words, if you have something on your skin but you're not makpid, you don't mind, then it's not a chatzitza if it's a miyut. So a ring, you're not makpid, you want it there. So what's the problem? So the Ravid explains that if you'd be kneading dough, she would definitely want to take it off. So even though now she's not kneading dough, but theoretically she could knead dough, so therefore it's considered that you don't want it there. Even though you're not kneading dough the second. Because the way the post can explain, because any second you could be kneading dough, so therefore you don't, it's considered a makrit. So it's considered makrit around. It's considered makrit because if you would be kneading dough, you would want to take off the ring so it shouldn't get dirty. So even though you're not kneading dough now, that's called miyut hamakpid. So that's why the minhag is for women to take off rings when they go to the mikveh or the sedayim. Question is, what about a woman who doesn't need dough, or a man who doesn't need dough? So that's a whole discussion. to the mikveh, we always try to be machmir, you know, to take off, you know, we try, if, you know, if it doesn't come off and she's not, and she really doesn't need no, you could ask a shayla then, you know. And the question is, for the Tilas Yadayim, they might, you know, it's not as chomer as, even though the Tilas Yadayim is a very big inyan, but it's not quite as chomer as the Issacharis of Nida. So then there's a discussion, if the woman is not, doesn't need dough, or especially by a man who doesn't need dough, so there might be some coolers in those situations by Netilas Yadayim for bread. You know, by the mikveh, we try to be more machmir because, you know, we don't want to get this akaris, etc. Then there's a question, how much of the hand has to be covered with Netilas Yadayim. So the Shulchan Aruch has two opinions. One opinion is it should be until the wrist. And one opinion is until the knuckles. So the Shulchan Aruch says the proper thing is to be machmer till the wrist. Then there's a din in Shulchan Aruch about no tell Adam Yodov Shachris Umasna Aleim Kol Hayom. In other words, can a person say, I'm going to wake up in the morning and wash the Tilas Yadayim, that should cover me for the whole day? So, so obviously it means that you washed with a kli sholem. So some posts can say that, you know, it's, that it could work. It says, "No to Adam Yodav Shachris Masnalem Kol Yom Afil Shalom." As long as he doesn't get his hands dirty. He doesn't teach to touch any makom tinofas. That's only, Ramos says, only if you wash them for shalom for achila, and you had in mind for achila for later. Okay, usually we don't, this doesn't come up so much. Then there's a question that people don't realize a lot, comes up all the time, especially if you go to a wedding. In other words, what if in the middle of the meal you have to use the bathroom? So the halacha is you have to wash the Netilas Yadayim again. Some say if you're doing tzrachim gedolim, you're moving your bowels, then maybe with a bracha. It's Rakham Tani, people without. And I think some point out the minig is to always wash again without a bracha. That's why, you know, comes in the two types of weddings. Some weddings that have sinks for the Netilas Yadayim, and some weddings have these, you know, they just have what do you call it? An urn. So the problem was the urn. People don't realize usually the urn is there in the beginning, and then they figure by now everyone already washed the Netilas Yadayim and the water's gone. But people go to the bathroom in the middle, so then they have to wash the Netilas Yadayim again, and there's no urn.
So if you have the sink, the sink's always there, so it's good. So then, technically, you have to take a cup into the bathroom, and it's a whole mess, you know what I mean? So that's why it's better, you know, make your, investing in a vending bowl. It's good for nothing, vending bowls. Well, if you have a vending bowl, so you should put in sinks. That's what I recommend. Don't worry about the urns, because the urn is always the problem. But if you're in the middle of the second dance, the water left in the urn, then you need to use the bathroom, so then technically it's up to you until it's dying again. And now there's no water left in the urn. They have the sink, so that's good. That's my recommendation.
Okay, there are halachas not, you know, that you should do it as quick as possible to wash and then to have the tilas yadayim. You're not supposed to walk too far, or whatever. So the mice, these weddings is also a problem. So that's why sometimes they put a little bread at the washing station. So the body is supposed to be a problem, is you're really supposed to make the tilas amotzi sitting down. And it's also not showing. So now they have these little shlames, these little challah balls. I'm sure you've seen it at the weddings, the challah balls. So at least they're showing in the sense. So, and sometimes it's such a big hefsek, some have the opinion, I think Rav Shaka mentioned, you take the paper towel and you don't dry it until you get to your mokum. Now, the body goes into that. And sometimes, until you find your seat at these weddings, it's a whole, the whole to do that. Okay, in the end, it all works out, Okay, so these are some of the halachas of the Tilas Yadayim. It's important. Tilas Yadayim, Gemara speaks harshly of people that mezalzel the Tilas Yadayim, they put a nidre or whatever, so it's a takkanas chazal, you have to be very careful. In the Tachonis Chazal of the Tilas Yadayim. In fact, the Gemara says in Erevin that Shlomo HaMelech was misaking Erevin and the Tilas Yadayim. Erevin was the Erev Chatzeres. If you have an apartment building, you can't just carry from one place to the other. You need a box of matzahs or whatever. And the Tilas Yadayim, and the Gemara says that David HaMelech, who said he was very proud of his son, Chacham Libi, Tachmidi, Yismach Libi Gavani, and he had a nachas from his son Shlomo, that he was happy to hear him in the Tilas Yadayim. The Rosh Hashiva Kerbiyandas, that's how we grow them, said those pieces, well, it was the simcha. The simcha was that, these are siyogim, and shows that you really care about a mitzvah, if you go above and beyond call of duty to put the siyagim around the mitzvah, so you shouldn't make a mistake. Like, by the apartment building, what's wrong carrying from one to the other? Because if you carry from one to the other, you might come carrying from the street. Because you say, oh, I'll leave my apartment to his apartment, I'll carry from my apartment only into the street. Or you say, Tilas Yadayim, what do I need to wash with Tilas Yadayim? It's mutter, tchulin is a sheni. But the answer is, you don't want to make a mistake when it comes to truma. So it shows an extra caring about mitzvahs and the simcha for mitzvahs. So therefore, David HaMelech had a lot of nachas with his son Shlomo, was misaking Erevin and the Tilas Yadayim. He said, Yimchacham b'ni, my son is smart, Yismach mi b'gavani, me the father will have a lot of simcha, and a smart son was misaking Erevin and the Tilas Yadayim. So let's start with next week, Bez Hashem. Tuesday 1:15, we'll meet here.